So we are done with James. So it's time to do some other things. I have not picked a book yet, in case you're curious. We're not going to start a new book right away. In my imagination, we're going to start a book next year. And probably between now and Christmas, do some other small things. I had something really fun that I wanted to do today, but it was going to take a lot of work, and there was hunting, so I had to put that one off. But I got inspiration this last week for something that I thought, oh, that might be a fun little study to bring during my Thursday morning meeting with the men that meet at Wild River Thursday mornings from the other church. Edgewater, that meets in Cape Junction. The Chad, the elder that runs that, brought a verse in Acts, chapter 2, verse 42. In this study, typically, they just kind of, he brings a little something that's on his mind, something that's spoken to him, and he just lays it out there, and then we discuss it. Acts 2:42 says, they were continually, and this is the early church, it's Acts 2, so it hadn't been around long, obviously. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That was it. And then he put out the question, what's the difference between fellowship and breaking bread? Because this is a short list, but it is a list, and they're mentioned as being different things. And that got me thinking a little bit. He didn't really have an answer, because again, he just brought it and we discussed it, but to me, fellowship and breaking bread are the same thing. If I don't know you and I want to get to know you and spend some time with you, what do? I invite you for dinner. That's why most of you haven't been to my house. Sorry, just playing. please don't read into that. But they are kind of the same thing. That's why we do potluck here. Once a month, and I felt guilty because I missed a few this year, which is out of character for me. I love fellowship, hanging out, eating and drinking together, and being able to have good conversation, maybe discuss something that is tantalizing, edgy, right? A belief, religion, politics. Yeah. It's fun if you're friends, right? But that did make me wonder what is the difference here, because they are listed as being two different things. And so I looked into fellowship a little bit. Anyways, so this morning we're going to get back to Acts and look at this at the end of this one more time for the major point. But today is going to be kind of a little bit of a word study. It's a well-known word. This word fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. And so I looked into it a little bit, and I thought we'd share that. The Strong's kind of the Strong's definition, some of this is hard to read, but it's partnership. Or literally, participation, social intercourse, and then it's usually, I'm not going to read the rest of this because I don't even know what that means, and it's usually practically translated or used in biblical passages as fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, and verbal intercourse. It's very much about sharing and getting involved, is the impression that I keep getting. It's when you help somebody build a fence, right? Or somebody is having a hard time. We pray for each other here at church and get involved in praying for somebody. It's saying, you and I have these things now in common. And so I thought we'd look at some verses to get the different ways in which it's used, some of them with a bit of context. But I thought we'd start in Galatians chapter 2. Verse 7 through 9. And I'm bringing this one out first just to give the general impression that that is very different from hanging out together and eating. And we're kind of jumping in the middle of the subject here, but on the contrary, seeing that I had been entrusted with the gospel, this is Paul talking, and he had been with the other apostles, to the uncircumcised, he had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised, for he who effectively worked for Peter in his apostleship to the circumcised effectively worked for me also to the Gentiles. And recognizing the grace that had been given to me, James and Cephas and John, who were reputed to be pillars, gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. And that is the koinonia, so that we might go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So here, I think the word fellowship, I don't know. It's always funny to be like, the translators got it wrong. That's silly. I'm sure they had a reason why they translated it fellowship. But you see here that there is a mission, right? The circumcised and the uncircumcised are all part of one big mission field. It's too big for one guy or too big for any small group to deal with. And Peter and Paul, seeing that this is a large mission field, decided to partner. You take that side and I take this side. And I think that's what they're trying to say here. We're going to join in this mission. You take that side, I take this side. You hold the hammer, I'll put the nail there. Or, you know, you take that side of the table. Okay, moving on. Romans 15. Starting in 25. But now I'm going to Jerusalem serving the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution or a koinonia for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They are going to partner with the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. And in this case, again, they're not even spending time together. They're not in the same room. They're not even in the same country. But they have koinonia with the poor. They're going to partner with them. We have the gospel in common. You're not doing well. I'm going to partner and participate with you. You know what? I need to do this thing. Next, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, verse 4. At least that's where we're going to start. I I thank God always concerning you for the grace of God, which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into koinonia with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We have a partnership with Christ. The reason I read this whole passage instead of just that verse pointing out, hey, we have koinonia with Christ. That's cool. The grace of God, which was given to you in Christ Jesus, right? A contribution through Christ Jesus from God. And you were enriched, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. That's your part, right? There's the partnership. It was confirmed in you as you lived out Christ and proved Christ. That's your job, and Christ's job is to save you and to bring you in. And then verse 8, who will also confirm you to the end. You confirm Christ, right? You prove Christ in your life, and Christ will acknowledge you when the time comes. This is a different kind of koinonia. Well, not really that different, but it's fun to think that there's a partnership. We think of ourselves very much as dependent on God, and we are completely and utterly dependent upon God. But just in this word study, discovering these little things, we're like, oh, I get to contribute. I have a piece of this. I'm supposed to partner with God in different things. Let's jump down to verse 16. Nope. That is wrong. That's a mistake in my notes. Chapter 10, 16. I just missed the zero. That's why. First Corinthians 10, 16. And this is talking about communion. Write this verse. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a koinonia in the blood of Christ? So we're sharing in the blood of Christ. Not a whole lot of action on our part. Simply acknowledgement and participation in it. Is not the bread which we break koinonia in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So we have koinonia, and we have koinonia with one another and with God in communion. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 14. So it's the very last verse of 2 Corinthians. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul closing up the letter here with his sort of final thing, and the last thing he says is this, and I really like this because there are some spots also, and we're not going to go into every verse that has koinonia in it. That would take all day. There are some verses that talk about us having koinonia with Jesus and the Father, especially 1 John, I think, has a couple of those. But here, koinonia is singled out for the Holy Spirit. And I think that's very teachable and applicable because the Father loves us. He sent the Son. Jesus died for us. He's the King. But who do we have to interact with every day? Who did Jesus send when he went? Who did the Father send when Jesus left? The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who partners with us, that we have koinonia with as we walk out our day-to-day. Yes, sir.
And I need to get this clear in my head.
Yes.
Is this how it's used? Is this a positional statement, or is it an action statement we're interacting?
Yes, it's an action statement.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Koinonia is...
A verb.
Sure. High school dropout that gets to be up here, you know, and then you're like, a verb. What's a verb? Now,
could it be both positional as well as an action?
Koinonia?
When we're saved, aren't we ushered into the fellowship of the believers in Christ Jesus?
I don't know. Maybe if you bend it just right and you hold your tongue to the left and cross your right toes. I don't know. Yeah. Really, in the end, it is an action. To have koinonia is to participate in some fashion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying it can't possibly be used in some positional way and be legit, but it's not practical for ultimate application this morning. Let me say that. Did you have something?
Yeah. When I do the word search on fellowship in the King James, not all the same verses come up.
Okay.
And B, it's not necessarily fellowship with God.
Right.
There are admonishments, several verses where we're cautioned against fellowship with evil.
Yes, yes. That is also brought up.
And is that the same word used then?
Let me see. I think it was the word that it comes from. Like, this study can get a lot larger. I stuck to this version of it because I realized that it was just going to grow out of control otherwise. Yeah. But yes, it talks about some people having koinonia with demons.
Right.
Yeah. Partnering with demons and doing. Yes, sir.
Let me help this a little bit with Ron's question. No fellowship use here is not a verb. It's a noun. However, for the noun to work, there has to be verb with it. There has to be action. It is not actionless.
Like belief.
Yeah, you have belief. Okay, that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm dead.
Okay. Thank you for your correction there. Yeah, me and grammar, I'm like, uh-oh, a grammar question. Let's continue, though. Otherwise, like, I actually brought a short one, so you guys get out on time today. But not if we have a full discussion before we finish. Okay, that was 2 Corinthians. Let's hit, and this one I disliked the most. Philippians. Chapter 3, verse 7, or starting in verse 7. And Paul is talking about a little bit of his struggles. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowledge, of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the koinonia of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The koinonia of his suffering. Now, we in America, we're not going to die a terrible death, God willing, for being a Christian or associating with the church in Christ.
At least today,
right? Lord willing, that's why I added that. I've talked about this in the past, that I personally hate suffering. I don't like being around it. I don't like suffering myself at all. Almost everybody in my family is a nurse of some sort. I am not a nurse, because I don't want to even be around it. It was Missy, right, that was had a prayer request for some of the things that she has to deal with right now, and I feel I don't know how she deals with it. I can't deal with it. Because I teach once in a while, and I'm really into church, and I don't go to family events when they're on Sunday morning. I'm like, nope, I'm going to church. You guys are second. Church is first. You're second. I don't care if you're blood, right? And I'm kind of that way. Sometimes some friends and family, they're like, hey, you should be a pastor now. You're getting older. Do that. And I'm like, and I told a buddy recently, I'm like, yeah, but they have to, you know, go to the hospital and visit sick people. And I don't want to. Like, I really despise suffering. Feeling bad, okay? Feeling good. That's me. I'm simple that way. But there is a cross we have to bear as Christians. And we are to, this isn't a command that we have to do this, but Paul, as an example to us, says that he wants to have the fellowship of Christ's suffering, to be conformed to his death in order that he may attain to the resurrection from the dead. There is a participation with God that is desired here, and that participation comes with suffering. Back to the whole pastor thing, I don't know how many times Dan has talked about, you know, watching somebody that he's coming alongside that's struggling and watching them reject the faith or to just go into the, you know, some kind of error of their ways, whatever that is, right? They might not reject Christ, but they might be, you know, and they're like, oh, I'm just going to find a church that's going to leave me alone about these things, or I'm just going to be in this relationship, even though it's ungodly. And the more we get involved, the more we have koinonia with other people in order to love them into the kingdom, in order to be there for those and basically be Jesus to the world, the more we're going to have also koinonia with Christ and the understanding, like, oh, there's suffering there. And we get to share in that. In third world countries, they still go through some of those things. I remember listening to, a lot of you guys know, I like Chip Ingram once in a while, listen to his teachings. And he talks once about hanging out with this Chinese preacher who is talking about his wife being in jail and was tortured, and that how they were praising God that she was counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. Amen. Yeah, except I don't get it, right? Like, I have such a hard time with that. But But there is a blessing because you're not just suffering for suffering's sake. Sometimes we get this idea, oh, life is hard. God said that life would be hard. You know, there's suffering in the world. No, it's not just suffering in the world. If you're suffering and partnering with Christ in suffering, that is, you're suffering for your faith because you're being rejected the way Christ was rejected, that is a special kind of fellowship with the Lord. And I hope I can learn this and to find joy in that particular type of fellowship with the Lord. Because I see that here, and I'm like, Paul wanted it. If Paul wanted it, I should probably want it. I don't know. Let's go. yeah. Why, Lord? let's go back to Acts chapter 2 to finish up. And that was verse 42. Acts 4:32. 2:42. Yes. They were, the early church, continually devoting themselves to. And I know we just talked about particularly the suffering. That's not what this is talking about, although it might include that. But they were continually devoting themselves. I don't know about you. I don't devote myself to too many things. I come to church. I'm devoted to being here every Sunday. Every once in a while, that doesn't happen, but I'm devoted to that. But aside from that, I'm devoted to YouTube. Right? I'm devoted to studying enough that I don't look like an idiot here this morning. Right? Well, but and I'm making jokes because, yeah, good humor is great. But I'm not devoted to that many things. There's a lot of things I should definitely be more devoted to. And I hope that you recognize the things that you should be more devoted to. The early church was continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings. For us, that would be reading your Bible. We have the Gospels now. They didn't. So we have the Gospels. I hope you're reading those. Also the Old Testament. And this kind of thing, right? This morning, you're here. And to koinonia, fellowship. Now notice, it doesn't say anything more about the koinonia. And I kind of like that after doing this little study, like what ways is koinonia used? And I'm like, it's used in a lot of different ways. And it just leaves it there. And then separately it says to the breaking of bread. I hope you're breaking bread with people. And to prayer. We need the power of God and the Holy Spirit. We need the favor of the Father. And we need to be obedient to Christ. And a lot of those things work best when you actually communicate with the boss. But this koinonia, it doesn't give really any context to it. And I love that because I think what it's saying is the early church was involved. They showed up with one another and they probably, oh, dude, you need some shoes. And they got them some shoes and somebody needs prayer. So they prayed for them and they invited each other over and they were looking for some way to partner with the people around them. They probably did business together. I bet two guys that did similar trades would be like, you do that trade, I do this trade. You're a Christian, I'm a Christian. We should never not work together, right? They showed up and they were actively trying to partner with one another in whatever way that meant. If it meant spending time together and eating, whether it meant singing together, whether it meant working together every chance that they had, or giving somebody a hug, or while I'm up here being in the kitchen making food. I know that's not what you're doing back there, but... oh, you are. But that's what they were about. And so I encourage you this morning, having looked at this, find opportunities to be involved. Find opportunities in being involved in what the Lord has going on and what the people around you have going on, specifically the body of Christ. You know, we can keep ourselves busy so much out there with the world, with non-Christians, that we would never do anything good if we were continually devoted to koinonia to everybody. We'd never have time to do anything worthwhile. Bring that to the body of Christ. Find, you know, when you're like, oh, I should do something. What should I do? Do something in the body of Christ. All right, let's, you can have like, two more comments. You guys already did comments, so I will allow up to two thoughts. Just based on time, I told you I wouldn't take you over today, so.
Do I get another?
Wrong. Okay.
you clarified something that I had in my mind. Term breaking of bread was the communion.
Oh, okay.
And the koinonia, the fellowship, was their other meals, they're getting together, they're doing this.
Got it.
But breaking of bread was specifically what we do on the last Sunday of the month. Communion.
In this context, I think in this context, it's just the way we think of fellowshipping.
Well, you're saying that breaking of bread is the meal, but the word koinonia and fellowship has that meal incorporated in it. So it's like...
Yeah, I mean, one way we can have koinonia is to eat together, or even better, to cook together, right? Right, when we're actively partnering and being intimate beyond, I mean, it's often even translated about as intimacy. We're involved deeper than just eating and talking. Like, I'm getting into your business and you're getting into my business.
It also seems wrong, like the Corinthians who got spanked because they were doing communion as they were. It was wrong. Their heart was wrong. That their coming together was a full-blown meal. And they were calling it the Lord's table. And it says, bunch of your gluttons, a bunch of your drunkards, and others going hungry and thirsty.
Yeah.
Eat and all. So he was separating that Lord's table. And it seems like the breaking of bread can be one or the other. It's not restricted to just eating in your home, or restricted to what we call communion. There's evidence for both, and I'm with you in that. I think that in this particular context, you had people that were having a hard time, that were eating together, sharing all things in common. So anyway, just additional thoughts.
Yeah, I have a word of encouragement, and two words. One is I find that this church is very friendly, and that is a really, really a great thing. I mean, I don't know if you've been to other churches where you don't feel that, but it's, you know, I would say that is koinonia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other type of encouragement I have is I would encourage more hospitality in your homes, because that really causes you to know somebody, I mean, different and better maybe than just saying hi at church.
Yeah.
And it really brings us together on a more better level. encourage you to consider, you know, if we want to go forward with Koinonia, that's the question.
Right. Okay, let's pray. Lord God, I want to just thank you for the church family that we have. Lord, I see people investing in other people here on a regular basis, and that's not to pat each other on the back, Lord, but you are working in people here, and I acknowledge you as God and Father, who supplies us the ability to be there for one another, and who encourages us, and who's patient with us when we don't, and who disciplines us. Lord, open our eyes to opportunities to be there for one another, even if it's painful for sometimes. May you be glorified in our midst this morning and prepare us for the next hour. In Jesus' name I ask, amen.